excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best of
friends. Moron, your bus is leaving.
Welcome to this Grambling State edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the road home from a beautiful day in Berkeley. A pretty relaxing game as far as games go. It didn't take long for the Bears to get so far in front that there wasn't any concern about the outcome. But I think there's a lot we can learn from today, even with an opponent as weak as Grambling State. You can look at the minutia of how things went to get a sense of things. So here's my general thoughts. First, I thought the first team came out. It had a lot of errors on offense, a lot of miscues. It didn't bite them because they were so potent that they'd make a mistake and then they could just throw a big pass down the field and make up for it. But against better opponents, the sort of miscues that I saw early on and just not the kind of tight, precise execution that we saw out of this team last year, they're going to have to clean that up. And maybe it's a little bit of first game jitters. That's kind of sometimes why you have these games early. But the Bears did not play very tight. An analogy I was thinking of in my head during the game is a teenager with a real powerful muscle car. You know, he's got some power. He can accelerate very impressively, do some neat things, but he's also spinning out and causing trouble and doing all sorts of things that, aren't good. So I think the offense is going to need to tighten up their game if they're going to do better against better opponents. The other thing I saw that was a bit concerning was the weakness of the run game. Now, I don't know if perhaps the defense for Grambling State is better than we think on the front line or whether they were heavily biasing against the run, although it didn't feel that way from at least how they were the pre-snap alignment, but maybe the way they were jumping was that direction, and that's why the passing game was so open. But when the Bears tried to run the ball early, it didn't work that well. They did not have good production. Lasko did not have a particularly good game. I don't remember what kind of yards he got, And one of two things is true. Either the Grambling defense was better against the run or heavily biased towards the run, or the Bears are going to have the trouble running the ball again this season. So let's hope it's one of those first two. Similarly, kind of along those lines, the best running back we saw all day was Muhammad, who's buried now as fourth or fifth on the depth chart. And frankly, I don't get it. He was the best-looking guy out there today. Now, to some degree, he was playing a lot against the second team of Grambling State, but he was playing with the second team of Cal. So I'm not quite sure why he's so far down on the depth chart. Maybe he's done a few things that have not put him in the good graces of the coaching staff. I'm not sure, but I sure feel like he is the number two back. I'm still in Lasko's camp, but Muhammad seems to me to be the second guy with Watson and Koprich, who had some moments where they seemed good, but overall did not impress me as much as Muhammad. Wide receivers continue to be very sharp. They can haul in anything you throw their direction. They run great routes. They've got good speed, excellent hands. Their toughness is growing. Gotta love this wide receiving core. It's the best thing on the team, without a doubt. Just really, really good. Goff obviously didn't have a bad day, did pretty well, although I felt like his tightness and his consistency was a little lower than I would have liked to have seen. He missed a handful of balls in a bad way. The one interception wasn't his fault. That was Treggs not hauling in the ball, and it bounced up to the defender. But just there was a few plays where he said that was not a very good throw by Goff. Now, obviously, when you're completing three quarters of your passes, as he was, he's not doing horribly. But I didn't see a quarterback at the top of his game. He, like the rest of the offense, has a little bit of a lack of precision that is going to need to get better by the time we're playing teams like Texas. Defensively, though, a lot to be happy about. The defensive line was getting good push. There was no meaningful run game out of Grambling State. The passing defense was good. I mean, they shut them out. It was not until late in the game when the backups and the third stringers were in there that they let a couple of big plays go. It's kind of what I predicted in my prediction for the today, although overall there were some missing components to it. The one thing I did kind of get right is the concept that really at the end of the game, the score for the Grambling State would be higher than the reality of the game. And really that was a shutout. It was a game where they didn't give up any points until they were in garbage time. And then it was just a couple of real missed assignments down in the depth chart, which, you know, that's normal. There's nothing to be concerned about there. If it's happening on the first string or the second string, you start to wonder. Another area of kind of that lack of tightness, to go back to the offense, came to my mind was the fumbles. They put the pigskin on the ground a couple times too many, and not sure why that was the case. But again, part of that thing of what they're going to have to clean up if they're going to beat good opponents. But back to the defense. Defensive line, I said, was getting a good push. They were getting pressure on the quarterback. They were disrupting things in the backfield. Felt pretty good about that. The secondary was doing a lot more press coverage than we've done in years past, but also wasn't getting burned significantly. They were able to stay with their guys. The concerns I've had about them not looking back for the ball, the one place where that was true was on the you know, go routes on the outside, which is a very tough place for a DB to look back and pick up the ball. Outside of that, anything over the middle, they were actually doing a very good job of picking up the ball. The interceptions that we saw were a reflection of that. That was a team that was focused on the quarterback and the ball and you know, the patterns all at the same time, that kind of next level that they need. So that was a very big positive for the team, and I think a good sign. So now we shouldn't get too carried away because it's Grambling State, but the fundamentals of what I saw today on defense give me significant hope. And if really they can continue to put together that kind of a performance of overall play, I think that, you know, it's not going to be a great defense, but it's going to be the type of defense that if the offense can keep its mojo going that it's had last year, we're going to score plenty of points for that defense to slow down the opposition enough to win more games than in years than last year. So really a lot of good things on the defensive side of the ball. One of the areas I was a little disappointed in was the linebackers. I felt like when Grambling State was running sideline to sideline, the pursuit from the linebackers wasn't the best. And it wasn't that it got out of hand, but there was a few times where I was a little bit surprised how easily Grambling State got outside and was able to run for a little bit more than I'd like. And again, it's one of those things that, no, it was only 3-4 yards against Grambling State, but what happens when that's USC? With a bigger line and better running backs and all the types of things that make it better. If there was an area of concern with the secondary, it was there were some times I saw some open guys, but the Grambling State QB wasn't able to get it to them. But it wasn't huge. It wasn't horrendous. It was the sort of thing that makes you say, well, those happen from time to time. But when added with the additional pressure that the defensive line's getting and that the coverage was so much tighter, I overall was much more impressed with the secondary than I have been in quite a while. So that was very good to see. But the big question in my mind is, you know, just how bad was this Grambling State team? It's hard to know, really. They have not been doing that well at their level. So really, really hard to tell. And were we just looking at a really terrible team, and everything always goes well when you're looking at a really terrible team? I don't know. We'll find out next week, I guess. San Diego State, it will be a significant step up in opponent, but again, still not a top-tier opponent. And sometimes the way the offense works here and how many points it can put up, it can be a little deceptive that it can look like this team is doing really well, but then they run into those people who have a really good defense, and all of a sudden the offense isn't scoring points, and the defense isn't good enough. I mean, everyone saw last season what happened. Another area I was going to tease into today was the scores around the Pac-12, and I might go out on a limb and say it's kind of looking like it might be a weak year for the conference. Stanford lost at Northwestern. Their offense looks to be back into the same funk as last year, that they're not going to be scoring a lot of points. They lost 16-6. So obviously their defense is still reasonably good. They're able to keep the score low. But we're just not seeing a team that out of them that looks all that impressive. And I'm sure with the losses they've had on defense, there are going to be offenses that can take advantage. So I think they're sliding down in the overall realm of the conference. Oregon State won, but not by much, over a very weak Weber State team. Should be concerning to everyone who's a fan of the conference doing well. People knew they were going to be struggling, but I didn't expect to see them win by only that much. Washington State lost to Portland State, and Portland State has not been that good in recent years. That's real troubling for the conference again, that Washington State would lose that game. Arizona let University of Texas San Antonio hang around, score a lot of points. They only won by one score. Just across the conference, we're not looking at a wonderful performance of the teams. I think the conference may be taking a step back, and as a Cal fan, that might be a good thing for us. Might be a few more teams are in reach than last year. Just based on first week's results, you got to think that beating Washington State and Oregon State is very likely. Washington lost to Boise State as well. Now, that can be deceptive, but it just says they're not making significant forward progress. So if the Bears can make some forward progress, they should be able to win that game. Then you got Stanford, who looks very vulnerable and beatable. And so now we're just down to Oregon in the North as a team that, we'd be second behind them based on all of that logic. I'd be pretty happy with that. And by the way, they've got a new QB and a number of question marks. I wouldn't say it's completely outside the realm of possibility that the Bears could give them a game, but we'll see. And then in the South, USC hasn't played yet. UCLA did reasonably well against an okay Virginia team. Those teams are, I think, going to be tough. As I said, Arizona didn't look all that impressive, but we don't play them this year. Colorado lost to Hawaii, but we don't play them this year. But, again, suggests they're not making significant progress as far as getting over the hump. Just not a great weekend for the conference. And now all of a sudden the Bears winning 73-14, which it could have been worse, right? It was 52 points at halftime. Yes, it's Grambling State, but you shouldn't discount that too much. So I think there's some reason for optimism from the standpoint of who our competition is this year out, and I'm not looking at a conference that looks insurmountable. Where there have been some times in the last few years I've just felt like there's so many good teams that are so hard to beat that it's trouble. One team actually I didn't mention so far, Utah, did do pretty well against Michigan, and the big question mark there is how good is Michigan? People forget that when Harbaugh went to Stanford, he didn't turn things around the first year. It took him a couple of years to get the guys, to get them to buying into the system, to do the things he needed to do to start winning there. So a little hard to know there how good Utah is, but it's definitely at least a sign that they're not a pushover. I think that's actually going to be a real tough game for the Bears. I mean, it's a tough place to play. I went there last time we played there. It's got that kind of same mojo that Oregon State has, where you're thinking these people are really into this, and it catches you off guard because they don't have that much of a reputation or whatnot. And I don't think the Bears have ever won in Salt Lake City against Utah. Of course, we've beat Utah, but it was here in the Bay Area. So they're not going away. But nevertheless, again, I think there's a lot of teams that are in reach this year. And what Cal needs is for today's defensive performance to have been indicative of their improvement, that this defense has turned a big corner, you know, to be at least mediocre, which we weren't even close to mediocre in years past. So, that would be great to see. And then the offense, clearly a ton of horsepower, clearly a lot of potential there. Our only area from a fundamental standpoint that might have been worrying was the lack of a run game, but I do think there's some possible mitigating factors there that may have made that deceptive. But it's just a matter of tightening it up and getting that precision back in their game where they are executing at that higher level, that there were just a handful too many mistakes for them to be really clicking. They really took advantage of the fact that Grambling State made a lot of mistakes, and that also were very vulnerable to the long pass play. And whenever the Bears needed to get themselves out of a jam, they'd just throw it long. So we'll see. Next week, San Diego State, that'll be a little bit better of a test. That team should not be overlooked, although they're not a great team. The Bears should come in and win that handily. They better win it handily if the team is going to have success this season. And then, of course, Texas the week after that on the road is the real test. And now you're talking about the big guys from a big conference. Yes, they're not who they were a handful of years ago, but they are definitely rebuilding, and they have the bodies to play at that top level. So that will be that test to see if they get manhandled by Texas. They could lose that game, and we could still feel good about the future if they're playing competitively and not getting manhandled, not getting blown off the ball. Of course, a win would be great. It'd be a wonderful thing. Tough part is now you got to go to Washington the week after that, and let's just hope their lack of progress is as real as we saw last year. Because they did lose a lot of guys to the NFL in the offseason. Anyway, I think that's going to wrap it up from now. Great to be back in football season. Great to be blogging and doing the podcast again. I hope everyone listens in, and go Bears. On the road again.